want to tell you over a piece of Revolba and the union of a curse of type. So, a few points. That, first of all, he points out that he divides Midas Tovas into three categories. There's Ben Adam Lamakim, Ben Adam Lachaveroi, and Ben Adam Laatzmoi. He divides it into three categories, which is not your standard division. Usually it's Ben Adam Lamakim, Ben Adam Lachaveroi. He sees it as three. There are the hanhagas which the person has to work on between him and his creator, between him and another fellow man. There's things that the person has to work on because he has to be a different person. Right? The meat of Zeris is obviously the main issue is Ben Adam Laatzmoi. He needs to be learn to be a Zoris. Right. So Hakar Satoiv, his Machadish is a Ben Adam Laatzmoi. It's not the main purpose of Hakar Satoiv is not that the recipient should receive your Hakar Satoiv. Is that you should be a person who's a makir tov. You should create yourself, you should change yourself into such a being. Okay. Now he brings over here Ramban in Parashas Nosai, which is why I have a right to do this piece right now. Which he teaches in the Ramban the following thought. So the question is, we have in the Parshas Nosa, we have the Torah is quite repetitive about the Nesi'im. Repeats the same thing 12 times over. And there's the Torah could have totally easily and just effectively described the Korban of the first day of Nachshon. And then it said the same thing was done by the Nosi of Yisachar, you know, etc., etc., etc. You know. We could have said there's a lot of psukim. And this is the Torah, which we know was, you know, this thing, this Ramazim, you know, just one extra letter is Tilatilim Shel Halachas, and here we are repeating ourselves again and again. It's a Halo Dabrahu. So the Medrash in Parshas Nosai goes through that fascinating thing. Each one of the Nesi'im thought of these Karbanos independently. They thought about what they knew about the future of their Shevet, with their Ruach HaKadosh. They brought Karbanos to correspond to the things that are going to happen in the future of their Shevet. So the Medrash goes through each one of the Nesi'im, what he had in mind when he brought the Karbanos. So Yehuda had in mind things that are going to happen in the Shevet Yehuda, and then the next one we had in mind what's going to happen with the Shevet Yisachar. And each one there were Mosim in each one of the Karbanos for something that will happen in the future of that Shevet. So based on that, some suggest that the Torah could not just write V'chein because it's not really V'chein. Each Nasi was having in mind the whole totally, even though it was the exact same physical Korban. The reality is each Nasi had in mind a whole different thought process. But the Ramban has a different answer. The right shot, why the Rosham repeats himself. The Rosham gives cover to those who fear him. Those who give cover to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Rosham gives them cover back. The pasuk clearly indicates that all of the Nesi'im showed up to the Mishkan with the same korban, and theoretically they all could have been makar on the same day, and without any major kedima. And the Rashi said, "No, Nesi'echad al yom. They're going to do it each one in a different day." So it comes out the Nasi, which was makar on day 12, Benson was planning to be makar on day 1. It's all because the Rashi decided to spread out over 12 days. So the one who goes first gets, you know, a beautiful description. One of the, and also that guy, the Nachschlepper on day 12. He's not a Nachschlepper. He was ready to bring it on day 1. The Russian decided to wait till day 2, each one separately. But the Russian had to make an order. Therefore, those which were earlier in the Degolim were earlier in the days. But that's not because Be'etzem they're more deserving of Kavod. The Bereshit B'davka wanted to say their name, the details of their Korban, and to mention which day they were brought. It's not that the first one should get more covered. And that would have been easier, right? And each one on his day brought the same thing. One pasuk done, as opposed to, right, the 66 psukim we could have taken care of, right? Because that would be in some way limiting the covenant of the other Nesiim. And that's why we dafka the pasuk made a cheshbon at the end, which I mean, the math is not extraordinary rocket science math to figure out. And if they each one brought one par each day, so there were a total of 12 parim. Wow! Like you know, I don't need the pasuk to tell me that. This is the point to say that no, they were all equal. To stress this point that they were all equal. So. The Russian wants to give back cover to those who give cover to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Revolver sees this as in the Kudav Akarsa type. And the Russian felt that they deserve, I need in some way to show, express my gratitude for the fact that they wanted to bring Kabbalahs. So the Russians are going to express that by giving each one cover for what they did. That's what he sees in this Rambam. That the Russian has an Haga, the Russian is Makar Toiv. To the us when we act appropriately vis-a-vis a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is a Hanukkah Kodesh type. That's what he suggests. Is it explicit in the Ramban that does he use the word Kodesh type? He doesn't use the word Kodesh type. He uses the word Rosh Hashanah Mechabit them. He wants to that it shouldn't be a kitzur be covered of the acherim. He seems to think the kudas the word over here is giving them covered, but the point of the reason why he wants to give them covered is because mechab de'achabe, those that give me covered, I want to give them back something. So that's the Rebbe says the root of that is the concept of the kurzot. That's what he says. I was thinking of a different the kuda based on a thought process. So bear with me on the thought process a little bit. I didn't make murmur currencies, I guess it's too many points. We spoke about this once. Rabbi Kiva says that Bahal Tarech HaKemarech is the Klal Gadol B'Torah. That is the Klal, which is Klal everything. So I pointed out to you that the Kli Yoker in Parshas Kedoshim asked the Kasha that the Gemara in Makkos at the end of the third parak, the Gemara says that there's Tariq Mitzvahs, Dorshab Simloi, that there's Tariq Mitzvahs, and then bought David Hamidin al Yud Aleph. David came and he condensed the mitzvahs into 11 mitzvahs. And if you do these 11 mitzvahs, that's going to start to give you a handle to all of the 613. Boy Yeshayah, Hamidin al Sheish. So finally, the final. The Chavakah b'midin alachas b'sadik b'min asayichya. So everything can be condensed down into this one mitzvah. So the Kli Yoker says, Rabbi Kiva says, Klal Gadol B'Torah is v'hal t'mecha k'morcha. The Gemara says the Klal Gadol B'Torah is b'sadik b'min asayichya. So which one is it? Is it this one or is it that one? So the Kli Yoker suggests that that's what he's suggests the answer. I have difficulty with the answer, and obviously I'm missing something. The Kli Yoker was a Talmud Chacham Mufleg, but it doesn't fit in the Gemara. The Gemara says 613 mitzvahs, which are Ben Olam Lamakim, Ben Olam Lachaberu. Boy, comes David and condenses them into 11, and if you look at the 11, some were Ben Olam Lamakim, some were Ben Olam Lachaberu. Boy, Yishai, Midol Sheish, again, Ben Olam Lamakim, Ben Olam Lachaberu. So finally, Chavakuk gets it down to one. So that's good both. So saying that this is Tumah Ben Olam Lamakim, but Tumah Ben Olam Lachaberu doesn't answer the question. Because the Moor is saying the Chavakuk got everything into one. And he doesn't say the same thing the Rekibah says. So we have to approach the Gemara, I think, in a different way. The Ramban on the Mitzvah of Ha'al Tarech comes along and he says that the Russian does not expect you to love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. That's not realistic to expect a person to have a love for another human being as much as he loves himself. Maybe for your children, maybe for your wife, but just I'm a person on the street, that I should have a love for him equivalent to my own love. A person does not expect that of you. So what does a person yes expect of you? He expects that you should want for the other person as much as you want for yourself. You want to have banim, he should have banim. You want to have oisher, he should have oisher. You want to have kavod, he should have kavod. You should not desire to be ahead of him in any way, he says, and we should remove from ourselves this lowly midah of kin of jealousy. Ad kam lashon Ramban. Now, so Ramban said, listen, to expect you to love somebody as much as you love yourself, that's not shaykh. But what I want from you is that you should have a desire that every human being that you meet should have just as much kavod as you, just as much money as you, just as much children as you, just as much hatzlacha as you, etc. Now, most people can't do that. Let me just finish the thought. Most people can't do that, and we would almost say it's probably, I mean, a nimna, as much as it is, I mean, a nimna to love somebody as much as yourself. Why? Every person says, I want to be some way that I'm unique, some way that I stand out, some way that I'm special. Like that's like all the self-help books. You say, well, you understand that there's nobody like you in the beginning of mankind until the end of mankind. You're special, you're unique, and you have your own unique talents. In some way, there's nothing like you. Like when the Rambam says, no, you're just nameless and faceless. Just everybody else will just be just as much as you. Right, everything as smart as you, right, as likable as you, as much money as you, the same amount of derech covenant as you, everything should be the same as yours. But that's okay. That's doable, right? So love the guy like that. That's right. But this is doable, really. Like, what did Rabban do for me? Like, you know, he didn't make it so much more doable, seemingly at first glance. I said over to the Bacham, I said, okay, listen, you're sitting in yeshiva. So Rabban has a fascinating thing about meat of kina. He says, I mean, I'm putting words in his mouth. Okay, he didn't say this, but you know me already. So he says like this. If you understand, the Bereshit made something called a Jewish mother. Now, there's nothing in the world like a Jewish mother. It's a unique Bria called a Jewish mother. And a Jewish mother's job is to build her child's self-esteem. My uncle, there's nobody in the world like my uncle. My uncle is God's gift to mankind. Okay? That's what a Jewish mother's supposed to do. Now, the guy sits in yeshiva. And the guy next to him is a bigger lamdan than him. And the guy next to him, on the other side, is a bigger masman. The guy over there has a better memory. And the guy over there is a bigger balchesim. And the guy over there is a better davener. So it's pretty, you know, you get worn out. Like, I'm talking not so good. You go home and he says, ah, Yankele! There's no one like Yankele. Every night, you get another dose of Yankele, the Jewish mother. The problem is, the bacher stays in the dorm. He doesn't go, you know, especially when before the cell phones and the long distance calls. You know, the good old days, it was like a lot of money. You know, the long distance call, right? So he got a letter from home. You know, but there was no, you know, spoke on the phone once a week. You know, but you know, in the whole week he's getting banged down. You know, you're not talking out so smart. You're talking out so good. You know. So I mean, you probably get worn out. So the pasuk says, "Reka v'tzamas kina." The withering of the bones literally is kina, but it means your atzmi is that which you see yourself as being, the independent atzmoi, your etzem, your being, is push it withers. You're like, what am I? I'm a nothing. Compared to this guy, I'm a nothing. This guy, I'm a nothing, 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 nothing. By the time I finish, like the whole base matters. I am so not nothing. It's awesome, right? So that's a problem, right? Because then the person just looks outwards. There was a maisa in Tells. There was a bacher in Tells. Now, it's many times that people have this problem of low self-esteem and jealousy go together a lot of times. Objectively, they're actually quite good. So there was a bacher in Tells. He was Aziz kind of a person. He was a major oved. He was really brilliant. He was good in learning. He was every mile, and he just saw like how much he's not. That's all he saw. And I remember, like, you heard, like, one bacher, like, used to, like, before he go to bed, he would learn, like, you know, like two mishnayos before he went to bed. So, okay, I had the two. So he put a little mishnayos in the bed, and like before he went to bed, he learned, you know, two mishnayos. And this bracha, like you know, you don't have a chance to learn Tanakh. They say every night before he learns a parak of Tanakh. So he did that too, right? And the guy says, tell him before he goes to bed. He had a pile of things next to his bed, like you know, he did his Mishnayos, and he did his Perek Tehillim, and he did his you know his Tanakh, and he did his like Gabal. It took an hour to go to bed because he was busy being jealous. Everybody else is thinking, I should also do it. Right? So I remember I went to Rashi Reb Chaim, and Rashi Reb Chaim said to me, you know, the Chazal said that Kidus Harim Tavra Chochma, like seeing other people being successful in the world of learning, it motivates you. He says the line between kina sefer and tarbe chokhmah and rekha b'tzavas kina is kechuta sarv, it's like a hair's breadth. It's very easy to move over to the wrong side of the scale. In other words, it's not very healthy what he's doing. That was his way of saying that. Okay. So what's the solution? I am not the smartest person in the Beis Hamikdash. I'm not the biggest lamed. I'm not the biggest matzor. I'm not. So how am I supposed to feel good about myself? So the self-help book tells you, listen, but you find some way that you are better than everybody else. You're unique. I'm a unique Batlin. You know, that doesn't help you so much. Like, you know, like, what? I'm a unique Batlin. I waste a lot of time, you know. Right? Like, what? You're not, what do you mean you're the solution to find that you're unique in some way and therefore you're good, and it's not realistic. It's not really what it should be based on. So, there's a fascinating thought. Let's go back to our Yiddish Mama. You ask Yiddish Mama, so why do you like your child? It's because he's so smart. Really? Because he's my child. That's why I like him. Why do you think he's so special? Because he's my child. I don't have to say, but, you know, I mean, you know, you've all had the experience of you have this mother showing you the other gorgeous child. You're looking at like, that's too gorgeous? Like, you know, like, you know. But in her mind, it's her child, so it's gorgeous. Right? And what if she has two kids? So they're both gorgeous. Because they're my children. Right? Now the kid comes along and says, Mommy, okay, yeah, but who do you really like more? I love you both. There's enough room in my mother's heart to love you both equally. I love you both. You're both so important to me. I don't love one more than the other. No. Yeah, but really, Mommy, who do you like more? Right? So from the child's perspective, we can't imagine the such a messiah. But the reality is, in a mother's heart, like, it's still a question. Of course I love you both equally. Because you're my children. The reason why we're chavim is because we're the bottom of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't have to be better than somebody else to be valuable. And if the only way I can feel I'm valuable is because I'm better than somebody else, I don't have a healthy relationship with my Creator. I really don't. So all these self-help books, you know, that's the solution. It doesn't work in the long run because the reality is you're not. Yes, you are somewhat unique, but that's really something that is going to make you happy. Right? I uniquely have a problem with the temper. You know, I go, okay, that doesn't help me so much. You know, I told somebody says, well, he asked me, so what are unique? Is I'm unique and I'm a jack of all trades, a master of none. Like this guy's the biggest lamb, and I'm not such a big lamb. And this guy, you know, I'm not good at everything. I'm not talking. I'm good at nothing. I'm decent at everything. But that's okay. You know, like you don't like the answer. But like, what do you want me to say? You know. So. The truth, if a person understands that the Bersham's love for me is total and sholem, and he thinks I'm valuable, he put me in this world for a reason. But they say by Alcoholics Anonymous, they have a saying, God doesn't make junk. He doesn't. If he made you, he put you here because he has a reason why he wants you to be here. And that's why you're valuable. Because he made you. And he put you here and he wants you here and he cares about you. That's it. I don't have to know exactly what. I don't have to know more than that. If that is clear to me as a reality, then you know what? I'm totally happy that you should have just as much as me, because what does one do with the other? The only way you can fulfill that Ramban is if you have a clarity of understanding that what it means that we're all bonim. That's the mitzvah of Hafter Rechel Kamoich. So the Tzadik B'Manos Yichya and Hafter Rechel Kamoich are not really so far from each other. The root of this is not a Ben Olam HaChaver issue. The root of Ben Olam HaChaver is not Ben Olam, it's Ben Olam HaMalkum. It is an understanding of my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Baruch Hu loves me because he loves me. And that's it. So therefore, he loves me with all my faults and all my disorders and all the fact that I'm not such a big lamb and not such a big bat and every thing that I have, he still loves me. A total love. And he knows that, he says that I'm valuable. He put me here. He cares about me. He's interested in me. And that's all I need to know. And therefore, you know what? You should have just as much covet as me, just as much more to me. I don't care. It's irrelevant to me. So Sadeh Ben Manasseh Yichya is that a person lives in that clarity of his relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Chavav Adam Shnivar Betzalim Chavim Yisrael Shnivar Baram Lamakim. That's the only way it's going to work. The Rosham says, I just gave the Torah. The Medrash says that the Rosham gave the Torah in Lashon Yachin. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Why is it Lashon Yachin? Anochi Hashem Elokechem. Right? So the Medrash says that the Rosham, when he said the Dibra, the Dibra came to each individual person. And it spoke to him at his Madrega. He said, "This is the command of Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is what is included in it, you know. And you, according to your level of understanding, this is what I'm telling you. Do you accept it?" And the person said, "Yes." So each person had their own private Nesinas HaTorah for them. So it all took place at one time. But each person had his own relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's what it's built on. So the Nesiyim are gorgeous. The Nesiyim, if I'd be cynical, imagine unhealthy individuals bringing these kibbutzim. So Yehuda would bring the first day, and he would bring, you know, this and this and this and this. What would happen the second day?
Give me more.
He'd bring photos and tomorrow, right? And he'd bring 18, and then I competition, right? Because I have to be better. I have to be different, at least. And the same has no problem being able to do the exact same thing. No problem. Because what do you do with me? I represent the chelik of Klai Yisrael, and it's my chelik, it's my portion, and this is what is appropriate for me, it's appropriate for you, shel tehet. So, but after the Nesiyim, where this expression of the clarity that the Nesiyim of the Torah is given to each individual person, for him, it's irrelevant what's happening to the next person next to him. And that's why the Nesiyim, it's Klai for the Torah to bang this into our heads, because it's such a problem. The person says, I'm going to repeat this 12 times. That there's 12 healthy individuals in the world, at least, who are like totally comfortable and doing the exact same thing without a problem. I mean, you know, I imagine you'd have a newspaper reporter there, like, sir, you don't think you came up with like anything new? No, I'm very comfortable doing the same thing as everybody else. Like, you're so flat, right? You know, like, that's our thought process. So is it survived from the Rabban? I don't know. There's another piece from Revolver about Bershom is Mechab Deichab. Bershom wants it's not his to give cover to them. But I think part of the Rabban wants to be Mechabed, those who Mechabed Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the, part of the cover was not that just they brought their Karbonis. Part of the cover is how they brought their Karbonis in such a balanced, normal way, a healthy way. That's what I suggested. Taking it a step weiter, that's what happens when a person doesn't have healthy self-esteem, and he's busy protecting his self-esteem and making sure that he's okay? He's very self-focused, because not because he's about Gaiva, it's the opposite. But he's protective of his being, because it's painful otherwise. It's painful to loss of esteem means, in Batsa means, like, recognize, means you don't feel, you feel you don't exist. People don't like feeling they don't do not feel like feeling they don't exist. It's very uncomfortable to feel like you don't exist. The most basic need of a human being to feel is that he exists. So how do I get that? I get that by my experiences. I get that by the feeling that I'm unique. I get that by different things. But I feel like I have nothing. and I'm worthless, and I have nothing to offer the world, so I don't feel like I exist. And you appeal people these words like I feel like I'm you know, like the fly, nobody notices me. I'm a fly on the wall. Like, I'm, you know, I'm a wall fly. Like, that's what the people use. And people want to. The desire to stand out is rooted in low self-esteem. The bakashas are covered. Is what we're describing up here is not really gaiv. It's called bakashas covered. It's the seeking covered. What does the word covered mean? We spoke about this once, right? Rehear says the word covered is written to the word kaved, weighty. The word kaved is the same that is written to the word kaved. Kaved means heavy, weighty. He said. So you think about it. You know, in he says, what's the difference between mass and weight? Mass is the actual matter which is there, and weight is the interface between gravity and the mass, right? So weight is not real. The mass is real, but the way we know that the mass is there is through the interface. So when I give cover to somebody, I'm saying that you are weighty, you are significant, you have value. That's the interface which we're interfacing with the reality, which is there. But the reality is there whether I give a cover or not. The reality is there. The way I know its significance is that interface is I'm giving recognition of the significance which is there. We're giving this gravitas. We use these words describing something of importance, of significance. It's called weighty. So that's the thinking of covet. When a person is seeking that, what he's saying, I don't feel that I'm significant and valuable and important. I want you to convince me. So please give me covet. And the more, since I don't feel, I'm not sure about it myself, the more I need people around me to convince me of that. That's because of the covet is be'etzem. Be'etzem is a total misunderstanding of the value, the intrinsic value of mankind. So, when a person is able to turn that around and have a clarity of understanding of his value, he doesn't need to focus inwards. He's not busy trying to bring recognition and focus on himself. He can focus outwards. So the root of Bedon al Chaveroi is the starting point. When I know that I'm Bottom Atem L'Shem Al-Kech and I'm convinced in my reality, so I see my life focusing on you. I don't have to spend my life focusing on me. I know that I'm good. Right, you know, I'm alive. But the more I'm not sure about that, the more I'm busy thinking about me. Because it's very painful to be like that. So I need to constantly bring in recognition. There's an individual name is Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Tversky, right? Quite well known individual. He has a lot of books out there. He's written a lot on this issue of low self esteem. It's one of his favorite topics. So he has this theory that Charles Schulz, who wrote the Peanuts comic strip, was really probing the different types of expressions of low self-esteem. And every character in the comic strip is a different expression of that. So some people deal with just saying, I'm a nothing, right? That's, you know, Charlie Brown. Some people do it by getting constantly needed to be glorified, and that's, you know, Lucy. Some people do it by withdrawing into their dream world, and that's Snoopy. Some people do it by having an addiction, and that's Linus with his blanket. You know, each person deals with their feeling of lack of worth in a different way. And that's his theory about the thing. Whether you want to agree with the theory or not, it's fun, it's cute, right? You know, whether, you know, out of all of them, Charlie Brown is the healthiest. Because he understands, he needs to develop more belief in himself, but he understands who he is. The guy who's in a dream world, or the guy who's doing substance abuse, or a person who's busy asking the whole world to give him a cup, is really unhealthy. So the only person who can really be a nice person and focus outwards and give to other people is that person who starts with, I'm comfortable with what I am. Okay, let's. So the root of the kayak to be a giver is rooted in the chavim of Moshe Rabbeinu B'Tzelem. We know they were created by Kadosh Baruch Hu. And chavim Yisrael Shadikru Bonam Amokim. So from that vantage point, I can be a giver. So the what is the Tzelem Elokim? The Tzelem Elokim is we function like a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The main primary thing we know about Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world is he's a giver. The whole creation was the Baruch Hu wanted to give. That's the root of all. That's the Ramchal talks about the root of all. The root of all bria was based on the fact that Baruch Hu is a giver. He wanted to be mitziv. So as much as that's the Tzelem Elokim that we know. We don't know about Kadosh Baruch Hu's real reality. We have no shaykhus to it. We only know about Kadosh Baruch Hu as much as he interfaces with our world. The whole foundation of the interface of this world is all about being mitziv, because that's the foundation of the Rishon created the world for. Because he wants to give. So as much as we're created in B'Tselem and Lakim, it means we're givers. Mm-hmm. So if we recognize how valuable we are, because we're never B'Tselem, we can be givers. So the root of Hathorecha Kamoicha, the ability to be able to be a giver to everybody, is rooted in Chavav Adam Shnevra B'Tselem, Chavav Yisrael Shnevra B'Tselem L'Mokam. So that's going back to that point. So answering the thought of the Kliyakar, the gap between the son of Rabbeinu Yichya and Havdarech HaKamach is not far at all. What Rekiva is saying is that ability to this concept is rooted in that we are Be'etzem Tzelem Elokim. That's the Muna that a person has to have. So Ratzadok says a fascinating thing. He says, as much as a person has to have a munah, I told you, we did this piece from Ratzadok together, right? I remember, did we do this? As much as a person has to have a munah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to have the munah in himself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alright, we did the piece from Ratzadok again, the city of Ratzadok, we did that, right? That's his mom's point. The person doesn't make junk. If he made me, he knows what he's doing. Well, I'm a mess. You know, I have so many different types, and you know, midas rows and desires, and you know, I'm just drawn to things, and I have so many problems, and that's my personality, my nature. Yeah, who made you like that? The Baruch Hu did.
Yourself. You made it yourself.
The Baruch Hu gave us. There's certain people that you will see. You know, I know two brothers. You know, I know one brother, I know the other brother. One brother, his nature is, he's quiet, he's not very outgoing, he likes to learn, he enjoys sitting in base medrash. That's his nature. That's the way he was as a little kid. You put him in base medrash, he goes like this for 17 hours straight. You know, no problem. And those people can't sit for 17 hours straight, they just can't. He didn't work on himself. He didn't come, you know, he came, well, that's where he came. His brother, Zun Stark Zion, was like whatever his one brother got for his itzfleish, as they call it in Yiddish, like he took all for the two of them. Like the other one had none. Pudgy couldn't sit still. The kids, he's ADD to the wazoo. Right? He was in five different yeshiva high schools over 4 years, you know. Like one of them says, you know, so what happened now? He says, you know, I was one day I cut shear, I was fighting with the goyim in the park with nunchucks, you know, when they got caught, so I was getting out of yeshiva. Like, you know, like and his brother's like, you know, like, just comes like this the whole day. Like what punching you for shiloh, they're the same mother or not. I mean, like, you know, they're no shaykhs. He didn't make himself like that. A lot of the way we come from is because of our nature, our upbringing, the interfaces we have with people. A lot of it is not our choice. We have bechira to do with what we're given. But we come as a package. We make bad choices so that we reinforce things. That's true. And, you know, we make good choices, we reinforce things also. But a certain amount, the package which we get, the circumstances that we're raised in, and again, the people react to the same circumstances. You'll have, you know, the story about the two brothers were raised in the horrible circumstances, and one because of that became an advocate for justice, and one of them became a drug king. You know, okay, I understand, but a lot of it is encoded beforehand. What's the pshat? The Baruch Hu it gave you your set of circumstances because this is the life you're supposed to live and go through. And these are the challenges you're supposed to go through. and let's see what you can do with them. And maybe for you, the growth is going from point A to point B. And the other human also is from point A to point B. Your point A, it might be 17 notches below his point A, but it's irrelevant because that's not how you're judged. You're not judged by where you end up. You're judged by how much more growth you had in life. And your point A to point B was quite an accomplishment, maybe more than his. Right? But, you know, the Brashim doesn't measure that. You know, he looks like a bigger tzaddik. So these two brothers, he's Baruch Hashem still sitting and learning, and he's a major care worker. Because, like, he's not a spoil from anybody, he doesn't care about anything, he's in your face, and he, you know, and he has a munna, Baruch Hashem. And he goes to the person and says, you know, you need to change your life because you don't believe in God. It's like, oh, what? So I'm telling you, without God, you don't have a real life. Like, right. Like he's comfortable saying that to somebody, like a total stranger. Like, but and he says it so forcefully, and he's happily very smart, that by the time he's finished with you, you start believing him. You know?
I still have my same question. Can I ask it?
Yeah.
The word re'echa, doesn't that mean a Jewish person at least? There's a distinction between Tzel Melkim and Re'echa, isn't there?
There is. Re'echa, Chazal Darshan Re'echa, is Re'echa B'mitzvahs, that we both have the same roles in life, the same type of relationship. That's not my point. My point is,
I'm saying if it's the same thing, why is there distinct? Why Rabbi Kiva make a distinction and say Re'echa instead of some other word which would mean all of
Because there's Chav Adam Shem B'Tzel, Chavim Yisosh, if you want to walk him.
Banim refers to only Jews.
Chaviv and Yisrael. Shenikra Banim Lamakim. Chai Yisrael is Chaviv because they're called Barashim's children. So that mashal with the mother, with the love, equal love, and that clarity belongs to Chai Yisrael. The Umas Arlam, you know, they deep down, the Chazal say, why is it called Har Sinai? One of the Pshat Morris says, because Bisham Yerda Sinai Lailam. When Kleistel got the Torah, not them, they became jealous. And that's a valid jealousy. I mean, but they had a choice. But, you know, at the end of the day, they're jealous. But that's the sin for Kleistel came from when Kleistel was became the chosen nation. That's the bottom line. Right? They don't like us. There's a reason why they don't like us. It's a valid reason. We're not the same. Because we were given something which they weren't given.
So it's proper to want what I want for everyone else, every other Jew. But it's not as, you know, I don't have a chisaron in me if I don't want that for all of mankind. Or I really should want that for all of mankind.
The way I'm saying, the answer is, it would be chisaron in you. Not because there's a... Stop. See, we're discussing a mitzvah, once we're discussing a mitzvah. The mitzvah is to other Jews. There's no mitzvah for other members of mankind. But my point is, the root of this problem is a healthy versus unhealthy issue. If the only way I feel good about myself is because I'm better than all the goyim, I still have a problem. The reason I feel good about myself is because the Baruch Hashem loves me. That's the end of the conversation. Why? Because I don't need any more. Well, because Jews are better than the goyim, and that's why I feel good about myself. You still need to have your head examined. So that's the point I'm saying. So
yeah, I understand that point.
Saying so, but in regards to the mitzvah applies to Jews. Doesn't apply to non-Jews. But as much as I think Rav Akiva is saying this is a Klal Gadol b'Torah, I don't think he's seeing it just as a mitzvah. The same way Tadabam Sayichya, it's not a mitzvah. It's a mahalach of how to deal with life. And that mahalach how to deal with life gives you a root and a foundation to deal with everything which the Torah is going to give you. So the Survol ben Echelik Aleph has a beautiful piece where he talks about the like you read some of these biographies about Gedolim, you know, they'll have a chapter about how such a big Talmud Chacham he is and such a Lamdan he is, da, da, da. And there's a paragraph, by the way, he was also an Ivy Yisrael. He also loved Jews. He was nice to animals, you know. He liked people, you know. Like it's like you know, there's two prakim, you know. There's the parak of the loveness, and there's a parak of the fact that he was a nice person. If you got the first one right, the second one has to be there. The second one's not there means the first one wasn't done right. The that's his hora, right? If the reason why I know Torah, the reason why I love Torah is because the Torah is the keli which Hashem gave to Klal Yisrael to facilitate the relationship. The Torah is the love letter from Kadosh Baruch Hu to Klal Yisrael. The Torah is the letter that the Hashem gave Klal Yisrael of how to deal with life, and it's a present from Kadosh Baruch Hu to his child, to Klal Yisrael, to his beloved. That's why I love Torah. I don't love Torah because it's a fascinating intellectual pursuit. Because then you can study math and do the same thing. You love Torah because it's the Rishon's Torah. If you're learning the Rishon's Torah, and you're loving it because of the Rishon's Torah, and you feel that relationship, you are going to be an Oyv Yisrael. And if you're not, you're not learning the Rishon's Torah. You're learning fascinating intellectual pursuit, and therefore it's yours, and you're busy keeping it for yourself, or you're teaching it because you get covet out of it. But another Jew is irrelevant to you. What do you mean another Jew is irrelevant to you? I don't love Jews. I'm not a nice guy. I don't like Jews. What does that mean? You know, there are times the Jews get on my nerves. That's a different issue. Like, you know, I think that, you know, that's the point of what we're saying. If you got the Torah right, the Vatan Manasa Yichya right, you're going to have the Havdarecha Kamarcha part. And if you don't, you didn't get the first part right. As Chrysler, Zev Lev has a Kabbalah piece. Now, we did last week this about the different things. He talks about Eish. Torah is compared to Eish. So the Gemara says that just like Eish is Oyser Roshim, Eish burns, so Eish of the Torah makes a Roshim on the person, it changes the person, the Mutav, to better. So Rabbi Lev said that there's something called stage fire, which they use, you know, in shows, and, you know, it looks like fire, it smells like fire. So what's the difference between that and fire? It doesn't burn. Right? So the definition of Eish is that it burns. There are certain people that they look, that look like they have Torah, they smell like they have Torah, but it didn't change them, it's not Torah. Because Eish burns. And Torah changes the person. And if it didn't, it's not Torah. It looks like it. Well, he knows so much and he's so smart. But if he's the same Midas Rose as he started out with, it ain't Torah. Thank you.